thank you for supporting all that God is doing in this region. And as I was in this service this morning, there was probably 100 students at the altar today. And I just want you to know that we're not playing the short game at Church on the North Game, North Coast. Like, I don't want to win today. I'll take losses today so I could win 40 years from now. If the Lord tarries, I want to make sure that all of our children have a place to fellowship where the anointing is unpolluted, unadulterated. Just give me the gospel and give me the power and give me the presence of Jesus. So we're playing for the future, not the present. And as you give, I would just challenge you to, in this season at Church on the North Coast, to give in mind, to give with that in mind, that we're playing for the future. A lot is taking place. A lot of building and expanding is taking place. And you can feel the increase of God's anointing and presence on this particular family of Church on the North Coast. And it's an exciting time to be around. And you might think, like, it's so dark out there, you know, it's so evil. Isn't that amazing? It's so evil, and God puts you in the middle of all of this evil right now. Like, God crafted you, anointed you, prepared you, and then released you into time right now. He could have chosen any time to release you, but he chose you for this time, and it speaks to what God put inside of you. So I don't know that yet. Well, you will. That's why it's important that you get discipled and you get into a life group. Amen. So as you give, let's hold it up and let's bless it. Father, thank you that you bless every gift, every giver in the house today. Bless your people. And as we give, Lord, we know that we do not give this seed today. We don't sow it naturally. We sow it supernaturally. We put it in the ground natural, but we reap it eternally. So we thank you for heaven in our families. What is going on up here? I got some. In Jesus' name. Siri is wigging out up here, man. So, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I don't know, like the little Siri circle just keeps coming up. I'm like, stop doing that, man. Stop doing it. Nobody's talking to you. You know what I mean? There she is again. Anyhow, all right. So as I receive that, be blessed. Thank you so much. Take your Bible. Go with me today to 1 Kings 21, verse 1 to 3. I just need these because 1 Kings 21, verses 1 to 3. It came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, he had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, and he's saying, give me your vineyard. It's pretty presumptuous, isn't it? Then I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near to my house. And I'll give you a vineyard that's better than the one you have. Or if it seems good to you, I'll give you its worth in money. And verse 3 says, but Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my father to you. I read that and it's so impactful because it's refreshing to see and to witness such courage in the face of such tyranny, that the enemy would believe that he could in some way convince a man of covenant to surrender something so precious and valuable as his vineyard. In order to understand the significance of the vineyard, you must understand that Naboth was a man of covenant. And he alludes to the idea here. He says, no, far be it from me that I would give away my father's inheritance to me. All through the Bible, you will see that God interacts with man in the vineyard, in the garden. When God first walked with Adam, it was in a garden. When Jesus first revealed himself to Mary, it was in a garden. It was in this garden, and God told Adam, he said, Adam, I want you to make sure you take care of this garden. Why, Adam? Why was it so important for Adam to make sure he took care of the garden? Because the garden to Adam represented the same thing it represents to us, and that is the intimacy, the pleasure of intimacy that is known as we walk with God. You see, the garden that Naboth is, the reason he was willing to die for it, and that's what we need more of today. We need a church that's willing to say, no, I'm not willing to sell my intimacy to anything or to anybody, because what that garden represents to me is something that this world can't give me. And I would ask you today to just kind of like, hey, what would you sell your intimacy for? And this place, this being the place where Naboth would walk, he no doubt he saw his father go out to the vineyard and walk in the vineyard with and pray and spend time with God, and he knew that it wasn't the vineyard, it wasn't the grapes that were his inheritance. It wasn't the grapes. It was the God. It was the encounters with God that he had in his vineyard. And this is why he stood and he said, no, I will not. I won't sell my inheritance. I want you to see that your inheritance is not grapes. Your inheritance is intimacy. It's intimacy. I want you to realize this. The enemy has no new tricks. The enemy has no new tricks. He still does the same thing. He tries to convince you and I to sell our intimacy for a bowl of soup, a vineyard of grapes. So he'll do anything just to steal the intimate time you have with him, because he realizes the power of that intimacy to the people of covenant. That intimacy would make a people say, we defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto death. We're not afraid to die because we know the Lord. Intimacy with God will make you fearless in the face of the enemy. And what's missing? What's missing? What's the missing component? Why are we so fearful today in the world? Why? Because the enemy is busy stealing our intimacy with Jesus. If he could just rob us of our intimacy. And he's slick, man. He's slick. He knows how to rob us of our intimacy. He'll give us good things in place of God things. He'll give us very virtuous things. Like, you know, like, hey, family, you should spend time with your family. And you're like, do I read my Bible this morning and pray, or do I go do that thing? It's a good thing. And so he'll cause you to sacrifice the most sacred thing for an okay thing. It's not a bad thing. No, it's a very good thing to spend time with your family. But what is the most necessary thing is that we spend time in the presence of Jesus. And this is the very thing he'll come to rob you from. Yep. And he'll do anything to take it from you. Like King Ahab. And the church must realize today, you're the church. Say, I'm the church. Hey, look, I'm Troy. I'm your friend. And I want you to win. I'm Troy. I'm your friend. I want you to win. I say these things because I want you to win, man. I want you to win probably more than you want to win. You get some people, you know, your friends, Your friends will be cool with you the way you are. But there are some people that love you too much to leave you the way you are. And they see the God potential and they say, no, 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 I want more for you than that. And I see you selling your vineyard to this world. And I'm just telling you, there's no, your intimacy with Jesus is worth way more than anything this world can offer you. I'm here to convince you today. This is all I got. It's just, I want to convince you. I'm here to compel you to say, stop selling your vineyard. Stop allowing the enemy to manipulate you and to deceive you into believing. You know, he'll do it. Ahab is slick. You know what Ahab will do? Ahab, it's okay. You don't have, the babies are fine. They could cry. I could preach right over top of them. It's fine. Never think that that's not okay. If we don't have that sound, we're in trouble. That sound is not here. We're in trouble. It should be so loud that we have to take an offering, and we're going to have to build a bigger building somewhere. That's coming. I just want you to know that's coming. I got my eyes on something. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting ready to move. You know what I mean? Like I'm getting ready to move. We could sell this back to Bush and them, you know, down the road. I'm sure they want it. We'll sell it to them for five times what they sold it to us. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous. It's going to be awesome. Ahab is slick, though, man. Ahab is slick. This world is slick. Ahab will use... See, the enemy will use Ahab. He'll use this world. The enemy will use this world. And he'll use every tool at his disposal to divide you from that which brings intimacy. You got to recognize intimacy. If I could tell the church today, I'd say, hey, your intimacy goes beyond your private time with Jesus in the morning. What just happened here was intimacy. That was a vineyard. There's a vineyard. That was a vineyard. And you just met with Jesus there, you know what I mean? And what the enemy would love to do is spoil the vineyard. He wants to spoil it. He'll do anything to spoil the vineyard. His best tactic today that I see. His best tactic is strife, division, comparison, competition. That's his best tactic. He. There's nothing more murderous than tribalism. There's nothing more devastating to Israel than when the tribes of Israel fight with one another. This is his tactic, to destroy your intimacy. Man, I just cannot have the church. I can't have them making grapes, producing fruit of intimacy. That's what he's after. And it requires cultivation. It's hard. You know what's hard? It's hard. Adam, I need you to break. You got to keep the soil, Adam. Your heart, you cannot allow, Adam. You got to daily cultivate the garden where I meet you. Because what the enemy will do, he will cause your garden, he will cause the soil of the garden to be so hard that it will refuse my presence. Let me ask you, how tender is your heart? How tender is it? Like, is it callous? Has it built up some calluses because of, well, this happened and this is my previous experience and this is where I come from and I'm going to protect myself. And after a while, you build up these calluses on your heart. But I want to warn you today, like, God will not come to a hard heart. He says, listen, you have to break your heart. Your fallow ground has to be broken every day. Your heart has to break for Jesus. Listen, if your heart's not broken for Jesus, you're in trouble. If you can resist his presence when he's near, something's wrong. I'm talking to the church. There's something wrong if you come into his presence and your heart does not open up and draw near to him. If you can stand in a place where you're like, everyone's pressing in, something must be wrong with me. Man, you've got to get to a place where your heart is broken before God. You cannot allow it to continue to be in that condition. Adam, take care of the soil. Break it, break it. Take a mattock to it. Put a shovel in it, man. Do whatever you gotta do, but don't let it get so hard that it resists my tender drawings to you. Don't let it be hard. Don't let it get hard. Day, a couple days you string together and you miss his presence, and suddenly, all of the sudden, what used to be sacred now is common, and you can do without it now because you're in pursuit of good things, not God things, but good things. He'll give you good things to do. Like, I'll fill my calendar now with what's most important to me, my kids. You know, that's what we use our kids a lot as good excuses not to get to God moments. I see this it's so common now. It's common. Like, when I was growing up, there was nothing on Sunday. I thought the cops didn't work on Sunday. That's what my grandma told me. Well, the cops don't work on Sunday, Troy. You couldn't buy liquor on Sunday. I look back on time and I think, it was really slow on Sunday. It was slow. There was beans cooking in the kitchen on Sunday. Beans took forever to cook. That's what I remember about Sunday. I was poor, so them beans, it's beans and cornbread, a little thing of bacon in there. But that took forever. It felt like it took, you didn't eat that till like 7 o'clock. Yeah? The block cheese and crackers. Yeah, that was, that's how we was in the hood. That government block cheese with some tomato soup. Let's take a memory. We're all on memory lane right now. Yeah. Man, I remember those are the days. Young people are like, what is he talking about? Cops don't work on Sunday. Church in the morning, church all day. Church all day, morning and evening sacrifice. But now Sunday is just another day, man. It's just another day for another dollar to make. And I wish we would understand that Ahab is selling something. He's here buying something. He's buying something. He's not here giving anything to you. He's here stealing something from you. He's here like, I'll pay you. I'll give you this for that. The enemy will work through the world in any means necessary to steal your intimacy with Jesus. That's, if he could just get a church, if he just raise a church that makes church about sermons instead of presence. If he could just get a church that can make church about Sunday attendance rather than deep connection and healing. If he can get a church to buy into that version, he's replaced God with good. With good. With good. Not bad, but not Jesus, man. Not Jesus. So you got to cultivate your heart. There's three ways to raise it to. If you're going to keep a vineyard, there's three things you got to do. Three things you got to do to keep a vineyard. You got to water it. You got to weed it. And you got to keep the fox off of it. You got to water it. You got to weed it. You got to keep those foxes off of it, man, the foxes. You water it, you know. You know, Jesus said, I am the vine. He's the vine. Well, that's interesting. Jesus, you're the vine. And we are the branches. And from us come the fruit of the vine. And so you can't have the fruit without the vine. You have to be watered. You have to be a well-watered garden. Here's what Isaiah 58 verse 11 says, the Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul in, oh yeah. Say, the Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul when the earth stops giving you what you need. He says, as long as you're connected to me, I'm the vine, and I'm going to give to you. He said, I'm going to strengthen your bones. You're going to be like a watered garden, a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So the only way you can keep your intimacy with Jesus is more intimacy with Jesus, closer intimacy with Jesus, a little bit of Jesus. You say, it's interesting, the closer I get to him, the closer I want to get to him. The more I know him, the more I want to know him. There's never been a moment where I said, that's enough, Jesus. There have been moments where I've been so in the presence of God that it was suffocating to me. But I'm like, more Jesus, until I can't breathe and there's, you know, you're just a mess. And he's like, no, you don't need any more. That's enough right now, you know. But that's what his presence will do for you. Never convince yourself that, well, I went to church. I read my Bible, you know, a couple of days ago. That's enough. It's never enough. You can never get enough of the presence of Jesus. And the answer to drought, if you're in drought, you know, you're going to experience drought. This world will quit after a while on you. It's going to be, it'll get broken. Like, stuff's going to stop working. And then all you're going to be left with, all you're going to be left with is Jesus. It's Jesus. And in those moments, like, depending on your proximity to Jesus will determine how intimate, like how much fruit you bear. When life gets dry, get closer to Jesus. When life gets boring, get closer to Jesus. You say, I'm bored. You know, I bore easily, man. Anybody like me in the room? Like, if you do the same, I can't stand the Ferris wheel. It's the dumbest ride ever. So dumb. I'm sorry if you're a Ferris wheel person, but I can't stand to see the same thing over and over. We're going around and around and around. I haven't seen this. I mean, like, isn't this world boring to you right now? Isn't it, like, haven't you just about had enough of it? I'm like, I'm so done with it. I wake up and I'm like, there's stuff in the sky, there's poison in the food, the government is acting wild, like never in my wildest dreams would I ever believe that I'd be living in this dystopian terror. And I'm just done with it. I'm like, been listening to this song is sing by CC Wine, or no, some other guy sings it, but CC did it, is Come Jesus Come. I'm like, Come Jesus Come. So done with this place. Like, I'm just done, man. I'm done with the drama, I'm done with the heartache, I'm done with the strife and the offense. I'm just like, God, can we just get out of here already? Just rescue us, Jesus. Come on. Like, is there some signal I can throw up and just go home? I'm ready to go home, you know? I never thought I'd say that. I'm 50 years old. Like, you know? And then you say that to kids today. They're like, don't stop saying that. It'd be so much better. His presence is so much better. It's so much. It's always so much better. So you got to water it. How do you water it? Presence. But you got to press for presence. The cure for a dry life is the presence of Jesus. Jesus will open the well. And I hear the Lord saying this more and more and more. Rupture the heavens, church. rupture the heavens. Fill the bowls in heaven. Keep filling the bowls in heaven until they spill. Keep filling. Rupture. There's this thin membrane. I could feel it right now. Can you feel it? There's this thin membrane between time and heaven. Right now, it's so easy to rupture. It's so, you just poke it with desperation. Just poke it with longing. Just poke it just a little bit and it just floods down. Heaven's available. You got to keep the frost off of grapes. You got to keep cold away. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. What's he saying? Like, cold, those who are cold, they're done. You're done. Those who want to be cold, who want to be hard and resistant to my presence, you can't reach them. My name is Troy. I'm your friend. I want you to win. And I tell you this because, like, I see hearts waxing cold. Cold and distant, resistant. He says, I'd rather you be hot, man. Just get on fire. Because when you're hot, man, when you get hot, there's like, it's like that fruit just loves hot. We live in a vineyard that loves hot. And can't stand the middle. It's like, I don't, get on that side, Elder. I'm going to come over here. He loves hot. Hot. And like, if you catch yourself on a day when you're not burning up for Jesus, and I'm telling you, this is where you got to live, man. You got to live in this place where you check the temperature of your heart. And you say, where am I? Am I hot? Am I lukewarm? Am I cold? If you can't definitively say, man, I'm pretty hot right now. I'm burning up for Jesus. My passion has never been at the level it's in right now. I'm going 1,000 miles a minute. I'm ready. I'm like a bullet shot out of a gun, man. I'm ready to chase Jesus no matter what. Last week, I went for 7 days straight, and there were 2 days where I didn't sleep. And I got up on Sunday last week, preached all day. I preached all day, man. Because why? The only way you can do that is you have to be on fire. Every time Jesus manifests himself, it was in fire. The clothing, tongues of fire, day of Pentecost. They walk with Jesus. Said, our hearts were on fire when I was with Jesus. I was on fire. Jeremiah said, it was shut up in my bones like fire. It was fire. Now, they threw them boys down in the fire, and they thought they was going to kill them. But they looked down in there, and they saw Jesus with them boys on fire. Yeah. Wow. If you're not on fire, something's wrong. If you don't have passion, if you don't have zeal, if you don't wake up every day and be like, man, I'm ready to go, then you better get closer to the presence of Jesus. I tell you that because I love you. My name is Troy. I'm your friend. And I want you to win. I want you to win. I want your children to win. I want you to win. I want you to win. I want you to win. You got to water God. You got to keep the weeds out. You got to keep the weeds out. Jeremiah 2, verse 21 says this. He said, yeah, I planted you. I planted you. Listen to what Jesus says about his church. I planted you. I planted you a seed of the highest quality. How then have you turned before me into this, this is piercing, into a degenerate plant of an alien vine? Oh, man. How does it happen? How does it happen? How do we get to, like, how, you got to ask yourself, you ever do this? Don't look around. Look straight forward. You ever get so far away? And you look back and say, how did I get here? How did that happen? There have been times in my life I'm like, I'm way too far away. Why did it happen? It happened because I let weeds grow. It choked the life out of the vine. And when I say weeds, look, and I'm going to be honest with you. Sin in your life has one objective. Spoil your vine. Spoil the vineyard. Sin is the weed that the enemy will use. And he makes weeds. I don't know how. I've seen people eat weeds. Stop it. It must be in the book of Leviticus. Stop eating weeds. There's something. Like, you know, I see people eating dandelions and stuff like that. You know, like, don't eat that. That represents sin. Stop eating weeds. I had this guy. I lived across the street from him back in when we first got married. And his name was Bob. Bob was 94 years old for 8 years. Every time he introduced himself to me, every time he did, "Hey, I'm Bob. I'm 94 years old." And he told me about the war he was in. But Bob did something very peculiar. Every day, Bob would get up during the summer. Bob would get up around noon. You'd see Bob walk out into his front yard with a Folgers can, a big Folgers can. And he would get down on his hands and knees, and he would pull every weed out of his yard and put it in that can every day. The next day would come, a new weed would emerge. Bob, right on time, he'd go out there with his Folgers can, get down on his knee, pull that weed up, throw it in there, pull it. Then he'd take a walk around the block. Then he'd go inside, and you didn't see Bob till the next day at noon. But I wanted to tell Bob, "Hey, Bob, they sell this product." They sell this product. I know it's terrible. Listen, just for an analogy here, okay? So stop. You know, I'm the same way. I feel you. She's like, "Don't put that on your grass. That's some of that stuff you were talking about from the government earlier." I know, sis. I know. But here's the point. You put that weed and feed on there, you know? You see them putting it on there. They're putting it on there right now. They put that on there. And I used to think that, the weed in feed, like, kills the damn. But what it does more than anything is it chokes the weed. It causes the grass to grow so full that it chokes the weed. And that's what the presence of Jesus will do in the life of the believer. See, we think we got to get something out. We're always trying to pull it out. Just pull it out. Just pull it. Just pull it out of me, man. I got sin. I got sin all in me. If I could just pull the sin out of me, you know what I mean? If I could just yank it out of me, I'll be better. Stop trying to pull it out of you and get Jesus in you. The more Jesus you have in you, the closer you get to Jesus, the less weeds can grow in your life. The less sin has opportunity to have entry to your life. Get closer. So what? Just add Jesus. Stop trying to take something away and just add Jesus. You say, "I can't quit smoking." Add Jesus. Every time you try to smoke, add Jesus. Go read something from Jesus. You say, "I can't quit drinking." Well, listen, just try to add Jesus. Every time you want to drink, just open the Bible and add Jesus. Add Jesus. Add Jesus. You say, "I can't stop yelling at my kids." Well, add Jesus. Just every time you get, they're gonna kiss me crazy. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Oh, that was just right there. Add Jesus. There was poison in the stew in the Old Testament. There was a story where the prophets, you had some kids out there making some soup, you know, and they made this soup and they put poison in the soup. And the prophets said, "Hey, go get me some flour." And they took the flour. They didn't try to extract the poison. They took the flour and put the flour in and said, "Now you can eat it. Jesus is the flour." You just got to add Jesus. Whatever it is in your life, whatever temptations that's coming to you, just put Jesus there. Stop trying to take it away. You can't do it. You can't save yourself. You can't. You in yourself can't resist the temptation of it. But if you put Jesus in you, every time that temptation comes to you, what I promise you is Jesus will grow in you until that thing is choked out of you. How does the enemy steal the spoil of the vine? Sin. Sin, man. I've seen families destroyed because of sin. I've seen whole family, just terrible stories, like sad stories where you didn't just have an affair because one day you woke up. It was a weed. And you let it grow. And another weed. Let it grow. And another weed. And you let it grow. Until suddenly, you started eating dandelions. You started living. I walk by these one houses in our development, Todd and Tammy. And I don't know what the HOA rules are, but listen. I don't think it's fair. I pay a guy to keep the weeds out of my yard. This one house on the corner, you probably know which one I'm talking about. We live in the same development, you know. And I do this walk. I got a 2-mile loop that I walk. I walk by the house. I'm like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's funny. I used to, you know, I was poor, you know. Now I live in an HOA. I'm all snobby. Like, what's up wrong with these weeds? It's appalling. When I was a kid, man, I had Duke in the backyard, and Duke was a dog. You know, he was chained up in the backyard. Chained. He didn't come in the house. Duke stayed outside. Yeah, how about that for all you animal lovers? He never came in the house. He was always in the backyard. And now all of a sudden, I'm like, this is weeds. This is disgusting. Yeah. I got to repent, you know what I mean? But it's one house on the corner, man. I saw praying. I said, Jesus, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to send my guy over there to you know, help him out. But this weed, by the end of summer, this weed had grown into a tree. And I'm thinking, you don't see this thing? This is ridiculous. Like, you just got to come out here and step on it or something. Like, you're going to need a chainsaw at this point. But this thing, you let this thing grow this big? I mean, the weed was bigger than me. Big old fat. And if you try to grab it, it's one of them pokey ones too, man. Who the pokey ones? That's why you got to pull them weeds out before they get pokey. You better pull sin out of your life before it gets pokey. Man, you let sin get pokey, man. Suddenly, you can't even put your hands around it. It's so pokey. And you see families destroyed. Just destroyed, annihilated. Like, it's the saddest thing ever. Why? Because we thought we could manage the weeds. You can't. Them weeds. A weed will grow anywhere. They grow in the cracks of my driveway. I'm like, I knew to weed and feed there, but I did not think I had to weed and feed here. Because they will seek a place to grow. Sin will look for a place to grow in your heart. You have to take care of those weeds. How? Put Jesus in there. And then last, I close with this. You got to keep. This one here, right here, so I can't stand this. You got to keep the fox away. I don't like this scripture. I try to avoid reading it because it like does something to me. I'm like, this is ooh, of all the scriptures. Some scripture's supposed to make you feel good, right? I should not feel this way when I read this scripture. But I read this scripture. And it's in Song of Solomon, and it's so, that way is so poetic, and it makes you kind of feel like a fox is like this cute little furry, you know, fun little fox. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little fox, and it says, catch us the foxes. Oh, those little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. I want to go back and talk to Solomon and be like, dude, you know, foxes are not innocuous. Foxes are crafty. They're cunning. They're sharp with their destruction. It's not like a lion. You saw a lion out there, you'd be like, oh, you got to keep the lion away. But what the enemy will do is he will make this world a little fox, a cute little fox, buy the little fox and then put it in the, but I see a fox in the woods, I just want to shoot it because of this text. I don't. but I want to. All right? It's like a possum. It's a kind little animal, but it looks like the devil. You ever see a possum up close? Terrifying animal. Their teeth, I mean, if the devil, I don't think the devil is a snake. I think he's a possum. One time I was with my buddy, my pastor, Greg, and he come walking out of the woods holding a big old possum by the tail. And he said, look, a marsupial. I was like, that thing's got rabies. Put it down. Listen, this world is dangerous. Ahab is scary. And he dresses himself up like a cute little harmless fox. But a fox is crafty, man. And I want you to know, this world is crafty. The devil is slick. He's slick. He walks around the chicken coop and he just examines it. He looks for entry points. He's smarter. He's smarter than the chickens. Don't you let this world be smarter than you. You're not a chicken. And don't you go thinking for one moment that that fox that's running around your house ain't looking for a way to get in. He's looking for a way to get in because he wants to kill the chickens. He wants to eat the chickens. So you gotta be on guard. You gotta recognize, like, it's real. He's there. He's circling your home. There's a fox right now outside your door. He's not harmless. The world is outside your door, circling. Powers and principalities of darkness, circling, looking, just looking, just looking, waiting to see. And you go making them you go shaking hands with a fox and see if that fox won't bite you. And he's dangerous. He's dangerous because he's slick with it. And I've never seen the devil be more slick than he is today. I've never seen people be more confused about sin than they are today. I've never seen a time in my life where good is bad, bad is good. Where holy is unholy and unholy is holy and left is right and a girl is a boy and a boy is a girl and there's some stuff in between. And I've never seen a time in my life when it was permissible for pedophilia to exist within school systems. But I see it today. That tells me that we are fooling around with the fox and we've treated it way too kindly over the years. And he now has the combination to the lock that gets into the chicken house. And he's gaining entry every day into every one of our lives. And if we would just stop treating him as if he is innocuous, we could keep him from destroying the next generation. So I've just called to tell you, sin is dangerous. This world, not your friend. And I've called you to protect your vineyard today. Protect your inheritance. You weren't promised a car, a house. You weren't promised bank accounts. None of that's your promise. I want you to hear Naboth says, far be it from me to sell you, to give away my inheritance. The inheritance of the saints is intimacy with Jesus. That's our inheritance. That's the inheritance we get. That's the stuff we get to give to our kids. That's the stuff. You know, I said, man, I'm going to give all my boys a Harley, and I've started to do it. You know, I got them. I'm lining them up. You know what I mean? I'm lining them up in the garage, and I'm going to drive them all the way until I have to give them away. They're going to have to help me get on them eventually, but they can't have them until I'm dead. But that's not the real inheritance. That's not really what I want to give you. What I want to give you is the prayers of the saints that avail much. I want to put a prayer in you so powerful it raises Lazarus from the dead. I want to put my spirit in you so much that you get twice the passion, twice the anointing. You get all, you got all what I had in even more. I want what we have together. We want to give it to our kids as an inheritance. Now with this inheritance, I want you to know you can raise the dead. You can open blind eyes. You can make this world manifest that which it cannot without Jesus. But we are giving you the most precious thing that we can within time. Intimacy with Jesus. Anything that steals the inheritance from our children, we must understand it is violent. It is a violent, raging fox. Sneaky, evil fox that is attempting to destroy the inheritance of the Lord. Psalm 34, I close with this. And when I close today, maybe you could just pass these around right now. Yeah, let's pass them around. Just take a couple in your hand. If you're weird and you don't want to touch things that other people touched, wipe them off. I don't know. I understand weird. I'm weird too about some things. Like I won't come to a buffet thing at your house. You know what I mean? Where you have like a, what's that called? A potluck, yeah. A pot blessing in the church, potluck in the world. But if you ever invite me to a potluck, good luck with that. I'm not eating anything. You'll see me over in the corner sipping on bottled water. And, oh, it's good. I'm not hungry. I'm fine. One time went to one of those and saw a cat walking in macaroni and cheese. Never again. You know what I mean? I say all that to say sometimes, you know, you just grab a grape. I should grab that grape. I want to read this text to you. I want to read this text to you. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." It tells you to taste. And I want you to know the goodness of God can only be experienced by tasting him. The goodness of God. And for many of us, the reason life is bitter, sour, the reason we're resentful, the reason we harbor anger, the reason is because we've not come to Jesus and tasted of his goodness. And I wish I could taste it for you. But I can't. I can't taste it for you. So I want you to just grab one, eat one, and remind yourself that his presence is sweet. And that his presence, every time he is experienced, his presence is on purpose. His presence is purposeful. He never reveals himself where he does not intend to bring transformation. You see what I'm saying? So to come into his presence and to resist tasting of his goodness, to resist coming all the way in, is to say, no. But I invite you, taste of his goodness every day. Don't let a day go by where you don't thank God for his goodness in your life. Taste of his presence. Don't taste of his blessing. Taste of his presence. Don't ever mistake the blessing for his presence. His presence will bring you everything else. Man, his presence is sweet. I can't taste it for you. If I could, I would. But I can't. So I give you these grapes to remind you. Taste and see for yourself. Test him. Test him. Listen, I want to tell you something. I want to ask you something. Just give us 12 months. Just give us 12 months here. If you don't see dramatic transformation in your life, here at Church on the North Coast, go somewhere else. You know what I mean? Stay home. I whatever. But if you would just commit to 12 months and say, listen, I'm gonna go into the presence of Jesus for 1 year solid. I promise you, in 365 days from now, you will not recognize your life. You won't recognize your children. You won't recognize your future. You'll be operating in a place. You think you can get there from the world, but you cannot. Ahab's blessing cannot get you to where the presence of Jesus can. Come on, let's stand as we close in prayer. Jesus, I thank you for your presence today in this place. You are worth it, Jesus. You are worth it, Jesus. We bless your name today. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or perhaps you're cold, perhaps you've allowed the callousness of life, the hardness of life, to create a hardness in your heart. Maybe that's you. You're here today and you say, I want his presence. I want his presence in my life, and I'm done living life the way I have. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I repent. I receive your righteousness now. And I give you all of my sin, all of my past, all of my shame, all of my condemnation. Everything that I carried to this point, I lay down at your feet. I receive your new life now. The newness of God coming on you, revealing himself to you. I receive it in full right now. Take my life. Change this world. All for your glory. All for your glory, Jesus. All for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you for taking your time on Sunday to be with family here at Church on the North Coast. We love you. We're praying for you. I'm Troy. I love you. I'm your friend. I want you to win. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. God bless you.